wanted to get some of that direction tonight from the council to determine if you wanted to do that. That was kind of on our to-do list to ask you about this evening. So with that, again, we're looking to refine these to a point where the council will consider adoption of the goals for your upcoming budget cycle. Again, we then will want to make sure that our budget and the goals align and are in unison, so we have the appropriate resources aligned with the appropriate goals to make things happen for you the next 2 years. And with that, again, moved through a lot tonight. We're happy to answer any questions, dive into any one thing in more detail this evening. Obviously, we want to get public feedback from those that are in the audience today, but then we're happy to look to have a standalone discussion in the not-too-distant future. With that, I think that concludes our presentation for this evening.
Council questions first. I have one real quick I'd like to get either David or Chris. Under the strategies and steps of each objective, did you prioritize any of those in any particular order, or are you just throwing them out there at this point? Right.
You
get them on paper and we can disperse.
Yep, that's where we're at right now with the process. Is we've just got these out on paper. We listen them down. Then we've done more granular work across the board on objectives, responsible parties, timelines. No particular priority order in them whatsoever.
Yeah. No, I think this is a great layout the way you have it set. There's a lot here, obviously, and I think either two-and-ones or because I'm worried about each one of us taking a lot of time to get this information back to the two of you. Maybe we can do a 2-2-1 or whatever, where we can get more information back to you as quick as we can. Because I think you're trying to get this done in the next 3 meetings, right?
Yeah, we typically, in the past, have taken about a month, month and a half to develop goals. So we're on track with what we've done previously.
Yeah.
I think we've just taken a different approach on how we're structuring and organizing the goals.
Okay. Other questions, council? Yep. Pro Tem Gregory?
So, Chris and Dave, I'll ask you both the same question. How do we condense the goals? Is it like 6.5 is a good example? That's all should be under HR's goals, And if you're going to present this in a public way for our overall city goals, we have to be able to have a condensed version of what we're talking about with a little bit of background for each of the, I call them mini subjects. But for anybody to understand the goals, we have to have understandable goals.
Sure.
What's going on?
So I do believe that as we refine the document that'll be presented to you, there will be a little bit more context and information. This was pulling out the summary of those goals. But for like 6.5, for example, there'll be an opportunity, I think, to provide some narrative around what that is, and we're happy to do that.
So, I don't necessarily mean this as a criticism, just more of an observation from like Councilmember Beal. I too went back and looked at the November notes. I think there are 30 bullet points, each with multiple points. The mission creep that has crept in, not all of these are council goals that were discussed in November. So we have an addition, and I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing, it's just an observation thing today. Of I'm going to assume it's staff input on what council should be considering. If we refine it back to only council goals, I think that from November that would be to our detriment. I think there's a lot of good things in here. There's not really a good way for me to prioritize the way I'm used to prioritizing things without seeing the cost. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard for you to generate a cost without going through a lot of this, and then only to have us discard those as a goal. That would be counterproductive. So somewhere in this process, where do we start prioritizing? There's would be wonderful to be able to do all of this, but to be honest with you, there's no way we can get this done in 2 years.
Yeah,
they're long-term goals. So some of these are going to be short-term, mid-term, long-term goals, and maybe we come back when in our part of our processing, we try to establish what can we do now. We have the money to do this. The road fund, for example, the road improvements.
Sure.
Sure.
We know we have, you know, I-24 to make that work. We can prioritize that. It would be interesting to see what staff's interpretation of what we really should be considering that we didn't.
So on the roads item in particular, and again, this is the type of discussion we wanted to have, just using that as an example, so implement the five-year roadway treatment plan and measure I-24 initiatives. The language can be updated, but essentially what we're saying there is we are going to take your five-year CIP plan that you already had approved for roads and essentially identify that as a goal. That's one of the, so the dollars, you know, for that plan essentially have more or less already been approved by the council.
Right.
Pending the budget adoption, but you've already looked at the five-year plan and blessed that, and we're just going to roll that forward. I understand it is a little bit of the chicken or the egg for goals, and it will take, you know, there will be a convergence of these two during the budget process. So you're right, we can't go through and cost estimate every one of these right now, but we will be merging these with the budget process, and your final goals and the budget are intent, is those two documents align. I know, I understand what you're looking for, and...
It's almost, it's great.
Sorry.
It's a great document, and it's I don't want it to become overwhelming to the point where you can't succeed at it.
Absolutely.
I want to be successful with it. I want staff to be really successful with it.
And then just for context too, and I don't have it committed to ultimate memory, but I know last year, the last two-year budget cycle, we had six goal areas. I think there were around 44 goals, and then there were several action items in those goals. So we're not too far away, I think, from the level of detail. I think some of this, obviously, there's some feedback and some massaging we need to do here. But just for context, last year, we strategically moved to a little bit more of a detail-oriented kind of goals document, which helps staff, you know, take, again, those big picture goals that you all had and narrow them down into actionable items that we felt met what you were trying to achieve. But this feedback is very helpful.
The analogy, you know, this, you know, how to eat an elephant one bite at a time. This is a big elephant.
It is.
There are an awful lot
of very ambitious.
Well, what I was going to mention too, I think that, to me, if I was an employee, this is perfect. I mean, he's down in the weeds, understanding, he's taking six major goals, breaking them down, and how am I going to achieve each one of those?
Yeah.
And these action items here are basically, they're asking us to, what do you think, kind of a thing.
See, and that's what I was going to get at. This is far more than just a budget document. This is a psychological document for how the attitude of the employee is. This is a personal work plan and how you are going to go do your work and what you're trying to accomplish. So this is far more comprehensive. And I look through this and I'm thinking, goal four, well, develop a citywide parks recreation in conjunction with regional and statewide goals and plans, or just internal. I look at the next one. Community and economic development. Right away, I think HCED. It's a committee of the League of California Cities, where they included housing along with this and tried to integrate all of those factors. And I can go through different areas here. There's another one back here that I specifically had marked. Oh, here. Conduct a comprehensive employee benefits comparative analysis, internal, regional, statewide, or national. I mean, there's a lot of different aspects of this on how it could be applied. Because if you're trying to do it to attract employees, or you're just trying to do it to equalize the employees within our own city, it all depends upon how you're going to use that particular thing. So, yeah, this does need a workshop. This isn't something we can do at a city council meeting.
Well, okay, let's go ahead, Chris. Yeah, finish up.
Actually, I had some kind of material content things to discuss, right? So I agree that this is eventually going to be a very, very helpful document to develop the budget and then also to direct staff. I mean, the work that we're doing here is very important. And sort of comparing what we talked about during the vision session, what has come up at other council meetings, what was involved in the attachments provided by the agenda. I just want to bring up a couple of things. I have more, so I actually, I think, I don't know if 221's the right thing, but I want to make sure I say some of this with the full group as my witness. Let's see, on public safety, you know, there's talk about like expanding community engagement and public communication. I know that engagement was something that came up in the standards of cover care. Why do I always get that wrong? Anyway, in the recommendations that were put forward. And in terms of like wildfire mitigation, education, and then CERT, I think those are really important, obviously. But also I think the work that Captain Porter did with Promotores in terms of doing fire safety education is also important, and the need for sort of developing and enhancing the relationships with these other organizations to help our capacity to help make sure that everyone's safe. So I would add that. In terms of public safety and, you know, training, professional development, I would, oh, here they come. They're, uh-oh, is it an emergency? Are you coming forward to speak? I would just add that I think it's important that we think about our public safety sort of looking like the people that they represent. So I don't know what sort of effort or intention is made in terms of recruiting women or bilingual speakers. I think it's important that we have a mix of people serving us, and I think there's value to the community. Let's see. Go ahead, Chief.
I was just going to add that these are broad goals, and just remember that police and fire have just started the strategic plan process, and we're going to have internal and external stakeholders as well as community meetings for input. So we will be able to address all that, and we'll have as objectives and tasks just like our last plan. So there's an opportunity for that.
You're speaking my language.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. In terms of housing, and I think this is important, and I'm not sure, I might have been reading when he talked about it, so it's 3.2. It talks about affordable housing here, and I want to know if the intent was to address housing along all levels of the all income levels of the spectrum, or if we're just talking about, by definition, you know, ultra low or low income. What the intent was with using the word affordable. That's Dr. Fraze.
So I think 3.2, that's, you know, your multifamily accelerator program from the EDSP. So that would be rental housing. So I think that's primarily going to be in the moderate income category. Mm-hmm. I think anything below moderate, which is low, very low, that falls into the tax credit category. I think we have another section that talks about collaboration with like the Housing Authority and other like nonprofits. That's where we're going to hit those categories. And then I think we've also mentioned the Housing Constraints Committee. They continue to be kind of a sounding board in terms of maybe, you know, where to prioritize efforts and whatnot. So I think that's kind of the overall approach to hitting the different categories.
That's very helpful. I know some people use the words interchangeably, and so I just wanted to make sure I was clear on your intent when you use the words. So I think, you know, it does sort of refer to Housing Authority and tax credit developers. I don't want it to only refer to that. We have other possible partners that kind of play special roles in this puzzle that we have in terms of Habitat for Humanity, people's self-help. I mean, I know you've been speaking with the Affordable Housing Trust people, and I think that's good. I just want to make sure that it's not exclusive to the people that are written down there.
Yeah, it's the intent is to cast a broad net.
And then I've talked about this before, but I think one of our challenges is we get kind of projects one by one, right? A project comes to DRC, and then it goes to Planning Commission. Sometimes it comes to us. And I, like, I've seen presentations on the pipeline, and I know that we're due to do sort of an updated RENA, but I'm not sure if RENA is the only measure of kind of the quality and the type of housing inventory that we have as a city, and, you know, answering the question, are we developing the housing that the people need?
Don't forget manufactured versus stick-built.
That's right.
That's another factor to consider.
Again, I think for all of us to be on the same page, right? So council gets presented different information maybe than housing constraints does. Maybe it's a different context that Planning Commission sees. We're all sort of seeing different pieces. I think it would be helpful for all of us to be together. Let's see here. Okay, economic development. I don't see the topic of local procurement down, and that came up both at the vision session, it was in the attachment, and there was significant consensus among us when we had the presentation from the workforce development. So I want to make sure that that doesn't get lost. And I'm also not seeing child care, and it is like the month of the child. So I'm sure that was just a...
We'll get it in there. Yep.
That's great.
That's a good catch. Thank you.
And then here's another I'll stop with this. But this is important. These are our two-year goals, right?
They are.
So
absolutely.
It's my turn. I appreciate kind of the attention towards engagement and good governance and developing trust. I appreciate in the attachment that there was a reference to multilingual. I think the city's come a long way with our partnerships and the meetings that we're having with different organizations. We had concurrent translation in the food truck meeting. That was all good governance. That all helped us to do a better job to serve the people that we're trying to serve. So I am concerned that the multilingual piece didn't get carried forward in this. And it doesn't have to be specific to that, because I actually think that's too limiting. You know, if our vision is around helping working families, helping the next generation, then we probably need to hear from them. And if that doesn't happen on its own, I know it's a hard constituency to reach because they're working and they have kids, but it is incumbent upon us to find a way to get input and feedback, to have that age group from 25 to 50, 25 to 55 represented somehow. And I mean, I might have missed it reading the fine print.
Well, no, I think that ties back into the piece about this management analyst and the PIO and creating more of a broader PIO so that we can reach those audiences more effectively through different uses of medium, whether that be posting videos in bilingual language on the website and then having somebody that can capture that feedback that we're receiving. That's helpful. And that's reaching out, because just like you said, they can't come here to a meeting because they're working, they have kids to take care of at the end of the night. Where they're able to watch the meeting, have an outlet to provide comments to, or watch an educational video on a program that we're doing in the city,
yeah.
And have that outlet to provide that comment, somebody on the internal to receive that, then we're capturing that audience and we're getting their feedback.
We have a lot of people in our community that don't participate here, and a lot of them don't want to. That's fair enough. But I think there's some that would. But they don't get the daily news, they're not on Facebook, right? They receive information in different ways. Mm-hmm. And if we are to be true to our vision that we all agreed upon, then it is important that we are intentional about how we get that feedback. So, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from council at this point? Let's open it up to the public and get their input if we can. Come forward, if you would. Bill, looks like you're up.
It's Bill.
Hi, Bill Britton, 1633 Leo Way. First of all, a question. The question is, and you've talked about it a little bit, but feedback. What is the prescribed methodology for feedback associated with the goals and objectives? And I think you have a little commingling of strategy and goals and strategic planning, so it's causing some confusion. And I think in that, in specific, specific entities such as the Airport Commission, who could be a really good source for additional input and comment to be added, and Planning Commission and other commissions that are serving you today in those capacities could be refined and help you out with those development of those things. Secondarily, a caution and warning is what we used to call it in the Air Force. And that's around the area of information management versus information technology. So you're traipsing around the ancient history of information technology, which is the technology necessary to execute certain things. Information management is the use of data. It's the use of translation capabilities. It's the cybersecurity. You're talking about a completely different construct than the city currently has today. You're going to have to rethink completely what that means in order to execute your entire strategy, because what you have designed today fits 1970 for information technology, not 2026. So just a thought piece in information management with the right kinds of resources. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, Sawyer Sackett, 510 9th Street here in Paso. So I've lived here for the majority of my life, and over the last decade or so, I've really seen housing prices almost double compared to about 10 years ago. And I feel that as a lifelong resident, my chances of attaining a home in this area are becoming smaller and smaller with each passing year. So paramount amongst my concerns for this city is to see an increase in the quantity and diversity of types of housing. I plan to get married next year here, and my fiance and I, when we start planning our lives and thinking about the next several years, I find myself looking at the cost of housing in this area and wondering if I'm going to be able to afford to raise my future kids here. And since we've recently only started building more housing in this city, I think it's fair to say we as a city and a community have a lot of catching up to do for the last 15 years of kind of stagnant home building market. Moreover, we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in just building single family style housing. Accelerating multifamily and ADU types of housing is incredibly crucial to helping just housing be more affordable to everyone. Paso is going to continue growing, and it's something that we're going to have to prepare for. As people from the northern and southern metropolitan areas flock to the small communities like Paso, we desperately need housing to be a top priority. I'd also encourage the City Council to take note from San Luis Obispo City Council and many other municipalities here in California who recently approved rental registries for their city so they can make educated, data-driven decisions on housing. You really can't solve a problem you can't see, and taking inventory of the amount and types of housing available for rent in this community will allow the city to create plans that will withstand that test of time. As a younger member of the community, I also believe that prioritizing so-called third spaces, areas that aren't home or work, but are rather places like parks, libraries, community centers, is really essential for a connected and inclusive community. Places where community members can gather and connect without the expectation of spending money. And younger members of the community often have much less disposable income to be able to rent out spaces for their interest groups. And having community centers where they can reserve space to get more of their cohorts involved will only serve to benefit the community at large. I truly believe that every dollar spent fostering the ability for our locals to engage with their community will pay dividends for decades to come. Additionally, prioritizing alternative methods of transportation around the city, such as cycling, buses, is becoming increasingly important. I've on and off been a cyclist in Paso for about 15 years, and back when I started cycling, once I got my first nice new commuter bike, I was subsequently hit by a car twice in the same week in Paso. This was like 10 years ago. We have more bike lanes now, but that's something that has been really amazing for me to see, is like the integration of biking infrastructure in Paso to make it easier. If I was living over at Blue Oak over by Allegretto, commuting downtown to my restaurant gig. So it's been cool to see that, and I hope we continue to see that. Thanks for listening to me. I have a upset fiance at home because I'm here too late, so I'm going to skedoodle.
You are excused. Thank you.
be quick. I have a whole thing, but I'm not even going to read it. I'm Maggie Payne. Hi again. I am here now as the coordinator of the Uplift Childcare Coalition. So the coalition is funded through Uplift Central Coast as part of the California Jobs First Initiative. It's a regional project that is reinforcing childcare as an integral component of economic mobility to ensure that there will be an equitable and thriving Central Coast economy. So Uplift spans from Santa Cruz all the way down to Ventura. And in a regional report that Uplift released, childcare was identified as a critical economic mobility strategy for our region, which is actually what led to the establishment and funding for our coalition. So the city of Paso has already been a leader in acknowledging childcare as a key component of economic mobility, including it in the Economic Development Strategic Plan and also through a partnership with CAPSLO's Childcare Resource Connection. So in the vision you've been talking about, it states a diverse economy and quality jobs that empower every generation to build their future here in Paso Robles. Childcare is now widely recognized as a foundational element of a thriving economy and workforce, and Goal 5 is where it re-articulates that priority. We're just asking you to please include childcare as a bulleted initiative under this goal. I'm also really excited, this is another big thing. Our coalition is in the early phases of launching the Central Coast Childcare Land Use Initiative. This effort is designed to advance childcare access by partnering with and providing technical assistance to city and county planning departments to improve local land use policies related to childcare capacity and promote co-location of childcare with housing. So we really hope that Paso Robles will be involved and participate in this initiative. Uplift Childcare Coalition, as coordinated by First 5 San Luis Obispo County, we are ready to partner with the city as we move forward in pursuing a stronger future for our community. And also really quick, the last goal, 6.5, 6.6, talking about personnel and employee policies and things, highly recommend the SLO County Family Friendly Workplaces program to come in and do a bit of an audit of the family friendly policies. They're really great at showing low hanging fruit where employers are able to offer really great family friendly benefits without having to invest too much into it. So just a recommendation. Thank you all so much. Yes.
Could I get your name again?
Oh, Maggie Payne.
Yeah. I just want to make sure. Okay, yeah. Great. Thanks for coming for the proclamation too.
Yes. Thank you all so much.
Welcome.
Kim Reiner, 1211 Shadowwood Way. I just have a couple pieces of input. In Goal 4, you have done such a great job as a city providing a robust offering of recreational opportunities for the seniors in our city. As a parent of a young adult with disabilities, we have a void there in access to that segment of our population. My son has to travel to San Luis Obispo to find opportunities that are able to meet his needs. It would be really lovely if we considered, as we grow those opportunities, how we can include members of our community that maybe need support in that access. Also, goal number 5, I've spent the better part of my career as an educator and administrator in the Paso Robles School District system. So I'm very proud of the work that Paso's done with partnering with Cuesta College for a career and technical education pathway for young adults who would love to work in the early childhood education sector. And it would be really lovely if our city could also partner in those efforts so that we would be able to provide a pathway to develop and grow for all of our young people who really are looking for a way to support their own small businesses in that area. So thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Shana Paulson. I'm the director of the Child Care Resource Connection, which is a program of the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo. We recently, maybe 2 years ago, started having staff at our office at 704 Spring Street. That was an important move for us. 30% of the children we serve in the county reside in Paso Robles. 50% of the families who are income eligible for child care and we can't serve them also reside in Paso Robles. So I'm here tonight to let you know a little bit about our work and how it connects to the work you're doing this evening. At the Child Care Resource Connection, we're working to increase access to quality early learning and child care options in communities throughout the county. And so to do that, we engage in a number of different activities. So we help people find child care, helping them navigate this complex system and find that good match. We work to assist with child care payments. So last year throughout the county, we distributed over $16 million on behalf of families. You heard earlier the cost burden of child care is significant for families in our area. Within Paso Robles alone, we distributed over $4 million to local child care businesses to serve children in our community. And then we also help with child care business startup and also business retention. So we're working to build more options and choices for children in our community. We had the opportunity to connect with your city manager and your economic development manager. And at your May meeting, we'll be sharing information about our child care slot expansion study. So I'm excited to dive into that with you and give you some more information. But for tonight, I wanted to remind you that in your economic development plan process, you convened stakeholders and they said that child care was a critical need. And so I just want to encourage you as you're moving through this planning process, just to echo Maggie's statement that we encourage you to include child care as one of the initiatives you consider as you're building more in the future. So thank you so much for acknowledging the important role, I think, in, now I'm going to ramble at you, I'm sorry, it's getting late, but child care is a critical part of your economic vitality, but it's also an important part of your community's vitality, right? It's helping parents go to work and children thrive. So thanks for remembering them as you move forward.
Thank you. Yeah. Welcome.
Hello. All right. Hello. I was going to say good morning. It's not. It's not even close.
Not yet.
Not even close. Get there. One, hi, my name is Rochelle Bollet. I am the coordinator of our county's Early Care and Education Planning Council. I'm housed at the County Office of Education, and we serve in as an advisory around all things early care and education, child care, preschool, daycare, whatever you'd like to call it. We use the same terms. And we serve to support our county in all of those resources. One of the things I want to start off with saying thank you for all of the work you are doing right now. For me, this was a fantastic show, better sitcom than I could have ever had. Just to be able to watch the democratic process happen for all of our citizens is amazing. And to know that this exists, right? We can argue over trees and where easements go and all of those pieces, but the fact that this place exists to have these conversations and the fact that you as elected officials and staff are here hearing those conversations and guiding them is amazing. So when I come here and I get to talk on behalf of the almost 3,200 children, 0 to 10, that live in Paso Robles, that's where I get to come and speak on their behalf. They're not gonna come out here. We could have them. We could bring them all out, right? Let them all run around. They'll probably crash in a minute. But I that would be a fantastic thing. What do you want here? More stuff. But I think that's amazing that we have this opportunity. And I would love to be able to just reiterate my colleagues and thinking about how we can, and we, I say all of us, as leaders and adults in this community, think about our children. I appreciate the fact that your vision statement included really talking about how every generation can build their future here. Sawyer, I don't even know him, but was like, wow, love it, congratulations on getting engaged. Then I'm like, well, are you gonna have a family? Think about that too. Childcare is gonna be the next on that list. But thinking about where people think that can happen, can they put roots down here and actually live here? And the children that are here when we're thinking about all of this work. So again, I would love to just echo all of my colleagues in encouraging you to think about children as you're coming through all of these. Yes, traffic lights matter. Yes, trees matter. Yes, our parks matter. Yes, our public safety matters. And so do our children as we're thinking all of this. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being here tonight. I have enjoyed myself. I just want to say that. This has been amazing. And I know you guys get the opportunity to do this often. But it really just warms my heart to know that our city government, our government in general, cares enough to sit here on a Tuesday night and have these conversations on behalf of all of our citizens. So thank you.
Thank you for the accolades. Thank you very much for sticking through this, too. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close public comment. Anyone online? We do have somebody.
I have Linda George online.
Okay. Linda, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Thanks. Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. So I think it's so wonderful that the city is getting oriented and having goals. I just want to say that when I worked at Agnews, I was a psychiatric technician, and all I wrote was behavioral plans for 12 years. And the problem, if it's really a problem, is that goals need to be short-term and long-term. And if you're going to do it with the budget, they need to be measurable. So what are you going to count as success when you make a goal? So if it's a two-year budget, then what can you do in 1 year and make that a short-term goal, 2 years, et cetera? And as far as I'm concerned, public safety handles public safety very well on their own. I don't think that they need to be included other than just govern to see if their goals are good. I don't know what anyone could put into what Chief Stornetta already has planned and or Chief Nord. But I did want to say this final point, which is in a few months, that room's going to look different. There'll be a different mayor. With the grace of God, there'll be another District 1 person in that seat. And with the grace of God, Chris Bausch will still be in District 2. So as you guys venture into writing these goals, please keep in mind that someone else in just a few months is going to have to pick these up and take them and continue to work on them. So if they're short and measurable, you'll have far more success than just having all these ideas. And then the last thing I want to say is in the 3.0 objectives, I really want to insert my pitch for the rent stabilization ordinance. I think that's highly important because that is going to help subsidies make a big difference and help people stay in housing. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa. Okay, we'll go ahead and bring it back to council for discussion. Pro Tem Gregory.
I'd just like to thank that those four ladies that represent our youth and our community in every way for bringing up all the different topics and how important children are to our goals and to our infrastructure and to our life here in Paso Robles. After working through an all-long meeting like this, it's always so wonderful to hear four caring voices come up and share that with us. So thank you, and I'm sure our city manager is going to take heed on this and make sure you're well covered in our goals. So I just want to thank you all for speaking up. So that's my comment.
Okay. Fred?
I'd like to echo that to some extent, but also to add to it, that's why we try to think 40 to 50 years ahead in some of our planning. Because that is what they will have to live with. And that's why it's so important that we make very careful decisions now and do the preliminary work necessary for them to continue it on and have a successful life. And that's why we also take in our oath of office the phrase, and leave the city a better place than we found it. And that's what we're trying to do here. Thank you.
Chris?
Thank you. Yeah, I would echo Fred and Steve's comments. Thank you for sticking around and sharing your thoughts. As a father of five, and our adult children are now starting to have children of their own and seeing their struggles with daycare, it's far worse today than it was when they were growing up. So I think there is a good partnership with your someone's from the County Office of Education. So, you know, we're starting to see TK become a reality. I think there's a good opportunity to coordinate with our school liaison, with Cuesta, with our Bear Kitten program over at the high school, I would be interested to hear what your thoughts are on what you think the cities can do to enhance what the state is already trying to do and what local school districts are empowered to do. They've got the budget to make that happen. But it would be a good conversation to have with them. So thank you for that. As far as our strategic work plan implementation update, very comprehensive. Thank you to everybody that put this together. It is something to look forward to as a blueprint of what is possible, but trying to get it done on a city council meeting, I think we've already said enough about that. Having it as a separate workshop makes a lot more sense. Thank you for your work in this.
Okay. Councilmember Beal.
I just want to share my observation how valuable having different types of people weighing in at the meetings is. Even with Sawyer talking about his kind of challenges and upcoming challenges with purchasing a home, learning about different things related to childcare, that makes us better. That helps us make better decisions and to be true with our vision statement. So, you know, I think people get information in different ways. People find out about these meetings in different ways. And it's so important for us to be intentional about trying to broaden the type of input and the participation that we get. In terms of where does the city come in with childcare, I know it's a little weird, right? I mean, we really are thinking about it differently from a city jurisdiction. There's a lot of work happening in this. No one here is suggesting that the city would open up a little center, you know? That is not what it looks like. But where the city comes in has to do with like planning, zoning, permitting. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit in the arena that the city can do to help make it easier, facilitated, faster, et cetera, et cetera. And I think tonight is also a good example of where the partnerships come in. There are people in the world that know a lot more about these things than we do. We have people in the audience who have worked with other cities. They know what's working, they know what's not. They can make our job easier. So I think it was a long meeting. You know, congratulations everyone for sticking it out. We should have a prize, by the way. But I think we are better because of it and learning from these other people that have different life experiences than we do. Thank you.
So Chris, my points are, I think this is the layup and how you have the objectives and the strategy and steps to accomplish this. So you're basically definitely getting down to the roots of every one of these, and that's what I really appreciate. And I think it's certainly a way to measure. We had a comment about measurable kind of results. I think what I would like to see, given the time frame that we have going on here, is there a way that we can get, I think I heard already, like, you know, public safety is going to be working on a part of this, housing and community development. Those folks that we have committees or commissions or whatever attached to those kind of divisions, can we take that section and get them to bounce off a little bit of information as well? I mean, that would help, I think, getting the people that we really hear from a lot back to the council for direction or thoughts, you know, that we can mull over faster. I'm just concerned that this is going to extend out so far. That what's your thoughts on
that? Yeah, I have two thoughts on that. Thank you, Mayor. One is, as we mentioned at the start of the presentation, a lot of what's in here is things that have been reviewed and approved, and I said really by council, but in a lot of cases, those items have made their way through in some form or fashion, not all, but in some form or fashion, to your advisory bodies somewhere along the line to provide review and approval. Again, not everything, but a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of new things that are being added or where we're going to be revisiting items, a lot of those will make their way through your advisory bodies again for additional input. At the end of the day, you all set the goals and priorities as a council. I think, you know, it's a lofty goal to try to get all the different feedback from all the different advisory bodies. I think, frankly, that compresses time very much. But I do think naturally through our process, we are going to be hitting our advisory bodies either already or in the future once these goals are adopted in final form and we start to implement. A lot of these items are coming back to your advisory body. The one that was talked about earlier was like the multifamily accelerator program. Mm-hmm. That has been, I believe, to HCOC and Warren, if I'm not mistaken, has that been to Planning Commission or just HCOC?
Just HCOC right now.
Yeah, so that's been to HCOC already. There's opportunities to bring that, say, to the Planning Commission, but we're already doing that. So those are my initial thoughts, but feedback taken, and we're happy to facilitate that moving forward through our process.
Okay, well, I think, again, this is a work in progress, but again, I think you need to hear, I think, individually, if nothing else, you know, in our meetings that we have with you, maybe we, again, kind of go through this and make some adjustments or give some comment back to you at this point.
What I heard collectively tonight, and again, the purpose of this was to introduce this to you and get this feedback, so this is really valuable feedback, is one, you'd like to see a standalone workshop. We can work with you on a date and time that makes sense. If there's consensus that a Saturday morning may be best to get additional participation from folks that may not be able to make it during a weekday, happy to do that. We've done that in the past. I heard potentially the desire to make sure we have translating services to get the proper feedback from the Spanish-speaking population. We're happy to look at that, and then happy to also schedule 221s as well, just to make sure that we're not missing anything individually.
Okay. Well, this is basically a receive and file. I mean, we're going to get back with you on this as far as an item. So, unless there's anything further the council wants to add, then I think we're finished with this item and we'll move on.
If there's any additional direction, I'm happy to take it, but I do feel like I have enough in terms of where the process is going to answer your question. And then we can get, again, individual feedback on some of the specific goals as we move forward. But unless you have additional direction, I'm comfortable with what you've set out for us.
So you don't feel like we need a workshop or a 221?
No, I'm sorry. Okay? I'm sorry if I wasn't. I do believe that.
You need it.
There was clear feedback that you want to hold a workshop. We'll work on the details with you, and then I will also offer 221s to make sure that nothing falls through the gap individually as well.
Okay.
If you want to take me up on that.
I think it's good to do both. That's a good idea.
So you want to just try and find a date then where we can meet?
We will start tomorrow and find a date that works for everybody. Yes, sir.
All right. Very good, Chris. Thank you. All right, moving on. It's up to you then, sounds like, on city manager report.
I just, one item real quick. We have the July 4th event in full planning mode right now. We are looking for sponsors that helps make the event go. So I got to get the word out there that sponsorships are available at a variety of levels. Some really cool benefits come along with that. You get one of the best seats in the house to watch the fireworks show. So if there's anyone out there that wants to sponsor the event, please reach out to our office. There's information on the city's website, prcity.com. And that'll end my comments this evening. Thank you, Mayor.
Very good. Thank you, Chris.
Can I ask Chris about that?
Sure.
So is Travel Paso in on it again?
Yes. Thank you for that opportunity. Travel Paso has committed $35,000 to the event. We still need, probably $60,000 to $75,000 to really kind of get at where we were at last year.
Okay.
The fireworks have been ordered, so if nothing else, we will have fireworks. But we're working through the other details right now. But the event is on a Saturday. It's the 250th year, so it's lining up most likely to be a big event.
Yeah.
If I can, real quickly, thanks to Angelica and Linda Plesha, who have stepped up and are leading our efforts this year. We have a committee now, and we have a lot of great staff that are working on this. So sponsors are out there. We would love to hear from you.
Okay. Accounts of business and committee reports. Who would like to start? Chris Beal?
I just want to comment. I was at the Uptown Park and Community Garden, and it was just such a delightful scene. There were all sorts of people at the garden. And then on a Saturday morning, there were like 40 people at Uptown Park, and they were having a blast. It was a hot morning. They were playing in the water, and it was delightful. There were all ages. There were families. It's such an important community resource. I know that Community Services had a successful teen night, and I just want to stress, like we talked about, how important the Ravine is for, you know, kind of a place to go. You know, the programs for our teens are so important. And the more kids that are at teen night at Centennial, or the less teens that Commander Lair has to deal with. So we have a connection here, right, about how important these programs are. If you didn't sign up for the sauerkraut class put on by Library Services, libraries are more than books, it's too late because they're full. Although I think you can get on the waiting list. I bet Angelica would let you. So thank you for letting me be a service.
Okay. Councilman Bausch.
Thank you. Just very quickly, thanks to Chief Stornetta and Police Chief Damian Nord for a coffee with the city. That was a great presentation. Always learn something. We had a Youth Commission meeting on Wednesday. Thursday, attended our city employee oaths of office and years of service recognition ceremony. Congratulations to Karen Gallardi for 25 years. And our Angelica 14 for 10 years. How she managed to put up with us for 10 years. It's just, we're very blessed. And finally, just wish everybody a happy Passover and a happy Easter. So thank you very much.
Councilman Strong.
Yes, thank you. And Councilman Bausch did mention already the Youth Commission. It was a very interesting meeting because we got the reports from the committees, and the youth activities are really just outstanding. They're getting tremendous participation, and they're doing a lot of things that kids want to do, not just the things we want the kids to do, but the things that the kids themselves want to do. And that's what's important. We've got a great youth commission, and they're an inspiration just to attend their meetings. Other than that, I did have a SOCOG meeting, Council of Governments meeting this week, and the interesting thing about that, or last week actually, is that they are moving ahead with a lot of different projects, and one of them was mentioned tonight, and that is the off-ramp from 101 onto Highway 46 East is one of the high priorities for expansion. The problem is the terrain and the embankment down to the river, because it's so steep, and with the encampments that they have in that area, we have to somehow work around that and build that encampment up with a wall or something to be able to support the compacted dirt that's necessary in order to get the additional lane in there. But we are working on it. It's very expensive.
Great. Thank you, Fred. Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, I too like to thank our the coffee with the city. It's amazing how much the public doesn't really understand about our police and fire departments and how rewarding it is to have two communicative chiefs. Of course, Darnett is more communicator than Damien. But it's truly a blessing to be in a community where there's so much part of the community. You know, the fire department, police department are wonderful, just like our staff. And I just like to say thank you for that presentation, and let's keep up that meeting. It's really been popular lately, so I'm getting a lot of side calls, but it's all good. I had lunch with John Pashong, and nice conversations about library stuff. And interestingly enough, I helped him. I'm helping him figure out a problem. They can't find lifeguards for the Shannon Pool, the San Miguel Pool, and the Templeton Pool. Who'd he turn to? Brad Butterfield.
That's right.
So they're working together on creating and organizing lifeguards to cover all the pools. So. Hopefully that all works out. Usual problem with John, he's got to help find these people. The other thing I'd like to share with everybody is I have a very important puppy, and he likes to really walk a lot. So I spent an evening, an afternoon with him at Barney Schwartz Park. And I can't tell you, my wife and I walk together all the time over there. First of all, how beautiful the fields are. Oh my gosh, it's like out of Field of Dreams. They're just perfect right now. And we're enjoying that. And then there's so many people and families that enjoy that park, and there's not even a game going on. I mean, we probably saw 50 or 60 other walkers, and I just want to thank Barney Schwartz for giving us the land, and thank our staff and and Helica's group of people. It's beautiful right now. If you go get a chance, please go look at it. And of course, you all know that already. So, and then my final comment of the evening for our city is, let's keep our mind on our astronauts and get them home safely. Truly a remarkable event. And I know we're getting into the spaceport business, but what a job. And the commander is from Cal Poly and a former teacher at Flamson. Now, you can't get any better than that. So, anyway, have a good
One minor Paso. Historical correction.
Yes.
Barney Schwartz didn't give that park to us. It was given to us by Lyndon Chandler. But Barney Schwartz had his name put on it because he's the one who twisted Lyndon Chandler's arm to donate the land.
So corrected. But I still love the park.
All right. For my reports, I had the monthly mayor's meeting. Actually, Pismo Beach hosted Mayor Ed Bloggy did that. We actually met at their new fire station, safety center, police and fire. It's beautiful. It's right where the old one was down there, I think on Bellow Street along the highway. And just about done, getting real close. I also attended the chamber ribbon cut for Certainty Home Loans on Spring Street. Also did the Paso Robles groundwater meeting, and we basically started talking about staff to bring us back operational ways to get Prop 26 engaged so that we can fund our minimal budget to make Sigma continue for our area. Mid-State Fair, we also went to the annual awards for that. That was really fun to do. And finally today, I did a spaceport meeting with Paul Sloan and a bunch of other people. It was very good. NASA finally made it down from the Bay Area to attend that, and they were very helpful. They have a lot of good ideas what they'd like to try to do and help us with, so very, very productive. I'd also like to take an opportunity here, if I don't mind, to announce to my colleagues, the city staff, and the public that after careful thought and discussion with my family, I've decided that I'm not going to be seeking re-election to the Paso Robles City Council this next year. Public service has always been one of the greatest honors of my life. Over the past four decades, I have had the pleasure of serving our community in several different capacities, first in the mid-80s as a volunteer fire captain, and then 4 years on the Planning Commission, and then finally 20 years on our City Council, including the last three as your mayor after the unexpected passing of my good friend, our good friend, I should say, Mayor Steve Martin. Throughout that time, my focus has been helping Paso Robles grow in a thoughtful and responsible way while preserving the character that makes our community such a special, special place to live, work, and raise a family. I believe I have honored my oath of office that I have taken many times over the years by working to leave our city in a better place than I had found it, something that I think Fred said tonight. It's been a great honor and privilege to work alongside my fellow colleagues on the council, professional city staff. That it's just amazing to see what you have achieved in your lives and how you helped the city and all our residents. The many dedicated community partners, the volunteers that we have that help us do what we do. Together, we've made meaningful progress in public service and safety, street maintenance, housing infrastructure, economic development, and other quality of life investments for our residents. I'm tremendously proud of the work we have accomplished, and I am also deeply grateful for you, the trust, and the community that have placed in me over the years. I believe leadership also recognizes when it's time to pass the torch and allow new voices.